Good morning. It's good to be together at the end of a week and the beginning of a new week. We hope that you will feel at home here in the presence of God and with one another. The Dukes, our pastors Paul and Stacy, are on vacation with their boys visiting family. And we are hoping for them that it is a time of resting and rejuvenation. They have earned it. Inside your bulletin, you will find a connection card. Our hope is that it will do just as it is called, that it will help make connection. So if you are visiting for the first time today, or if you have been here for decades, or anything in between, we invite you to take a moment to fill that connection card out on the front. On the back, you'll find opportunities for next steps. Those are also about building connection, around the ministry work we do together. And I'd like to draw your attention to those now. The first one there you'll see mentions godly play. You may have read about that in the newsletter this week. You'll hear more about it during the sermon today. And Alicia, would you wave your hand? Alicia Stevers will be out in the hallway after worship by the giving mural, if you'd like to be a part of partnering with us in that ministry, starting up that program for kids. And then I also want to draw your attention to the backpacks, which is not actually on the connection card, but you'll see a table in the hallway as well. We're gathering backpacks and filling them for kiddos who need them. So we have four more tags. Is that right, Sue Ellen? Two. Oh, you guys did good work before worship today. We have two more tags. We ask that you would grab one on your way out. There's a list of things to get to fill those bags. So let's do that good work together. So now let us get ready. Ready to sing, to pray, to listen, and respond. Let us worship the living God. Please stand if you so choose. Loving God, who fed the multitudes with but a few loaves and some fish, feed us as we gather before you on this beautiful morning. Quiet our minds, still our hearts. Fill us with hope and courage, with wonder and praise, that we might experience you more intimately, love you more deeply, and be empowered to share your love with all of creation. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
All the Lord's ways are just. All the Lord's doings are kind. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever.
Thank you. the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells.
Will you join me in a time of prayer? God, we are gathered here in this place, which holds so much history for so many of us. Baptisms, weddings, funerals, Christmas and Easter celebrations, and every Sunday in the year. This is your house, and we have found a home here. May this time together nourish us so that we may return to our daily duties, filled with your grace and your peace, able to be your hands and feet and voice in the everyday world in southeastern Michigan. As we enjoy the beauty and wonderfulness of this, our stomping grounds, we do remember those who are in stress because of the heat, because of 89-plus wildfires in the West and in Europe, flooding rains in the East and in Indochina, all contributing to the displacement from homes. We especially seek your care for all the juveniles displaced from their family units, parents who know not where their children are, children who long for those that they cannot find, and they find themselves caged with those they do not know. God, open our eyes that we may see the injustice that abounds throughout our land, where the rich and powerful seem to grow in strength and power and audacity at the expense of those who have less. We pray for minds and bodies open to your calling for justice throughout the lands. We pray now for those of our fellowship who need courage, peace, hope, sympathy. We pray for Anita Monacle, Omer Robbins, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Stacy Simpson Duke, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lynn, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Kay, Charlene, Jennifer, Ray. We pray for Marla and John, for the Jones family, for John Wallace, for Pastor Stacy, that they may have health and strength. Maurice Tabor, friends and family of Michaela Hostetler, Colin Campbell and his family, Willie, Christian, Maddie, and Mike. Send grace and peace to all. In this time of prayer, we pray now for all of those who are involved in our political process, those who seek office, and those who vote. Help us to make time to know the issues, to know the candidates, and where our vote might reflect our concern and our hopes for this country. God, we ask that you hear us now as together we pray the words taught to us in the scriptures. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand with me as you are able for the reading of the Gospel. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, and so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The word of the Lord. Kiddos, would you please come join me as we sing "For Time as Children"? Asher just got back from camp, and when he was at camp, I sent him a letter that looked a little bit like this one. A little note that had some words. "Dear Asher, I hope you are having fun at camp. I love you this much." And then I tried to show how much I love Asher. Does that look like very much love? My arms are very stretched out, but it's a pretty small paper. Ooh, I found it tricky to show how much I loved Asher while Asher was away. The reading we heard today that Miss Susan shared with us was about how big God's love is. How big God's love is. I wonder if we can try to see how big. Let's see. Asher? Can you go down? See how far you can go down that aisle. Yeah, head towards Peter. Good, good. Let's see. Okay, wow. God's love is very long. That's good. Well, let's stop. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. All right, that's okay. Alice, can you grab this one? Alice, you go into the other aisle. Let's see if we can. Oh, we're trying to represent how big God's love is. Oh, that, okay. All right. Oh, Pepper, you hold that one. Okay, let's see. Can you pull that one out for us? Where are you going to go? Hey, maybe you can go up this way. Can you go up that way, up the stairs? Because you know what? God's love is tall, too. Yeah, can you go all the way? Oh, boy. Keep going, Asher. Go right up those stairs. Oh, boy. The reading we heard. Oh, yeah, good. She's good. Yeah, good. That's great. Good. Keep going. Can you go a little further? See? Let's see when it stops. Ooh. God's love is so big. In the reading today, we heard that this is not even big enough. This is not big enough. That God's love is so big for us, it surpasses. It's too big. We can't even wrap our heads around it, even if we try with measuring tapes in the whole space. That's how big God's love is for you. So while you're standing there, we're going to pray together. Dear God, we thank you that you love us and that your love is so big and so good that we cannot measure it, even if we try. We love you. Amen. All right, come back in, kiddos. Come back in. Carefully.
Teaching about the way of the kingdom of God. And they were tired. They were tired, so Jesus said, "Come, let's go to a quiet place to rest." Now, as they were going, many ran after them. And when Jesus saw them, they seemed like sheep without a shepherd. So instead of sending them away, Jesus healed them and taught them the way of the kingdom of God. It was getting late. The disciples were getting restless. They said to Jesus, "Send them away to the villages so they can buy food to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." There was not enough food to feed such a large crowd. But Jesus asked, "What do you have?" The disciples answered, "Five loaves of bread and two fish." Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the crowd. Everyone ate until they were full. There was over 5,000 of them. The crowd said, "Certainly this is the Christ." They wanted to make Jesus their king. But Jesus slipped away. I wonder how it felt to the disciples when this happened. I wonder how the disciples were feeling and the crowd. How were they all feeling when this happened? I wonder what your favorite part of the story is. I wonder where you are in the story. I wonder what kind of king Jesus would be.
Storytelling and wondering are integral aspects of godly play. Godly Play is the new curriculum we'll be using for 4-year-olds through 2nd graders this fall. It's a Montessori curriculum that uses time like the flow of worship we have together to create space and time for children to meet with God. Storytelling is an integral part. It always has been. For generation after generation, that is how the stories of God and God's people have been passed on. It's an honor to share with you about it today as we enter into the work of Godly Play. Hearing a story from Scripture, wondering about it together, and finding our place in the story. So Godly Play follows the flow of worship. We gather together and we get settled. We get ready. Ready to listen. We listen to God's word. We respond to God's word. We have a feast, like communion, but in church school we have snack every Sunday. And then there's the sending, the going in God's name to love and to serve. After the story is told with 3-dimensional wooden pieces, and told by heart, then the wondering begins. It's a time of inviting the children to ponder the story, to find their place in the story. Wondering allows the children to make meaning. It's not a time of the adults saying, "This is what you should know about the story." It's not about the adults saying, "This is what God wants you to know." In the world of education, we call that scaffolding, a teaching technique where you work alongside the student, the learner, who's progressively growing in understanding and doing so independently in their learning. As we wonder in Godly Play, we are supporting the kids as they are doing theology, because we know they are theologians already. And so we wonder together. I wonder what your favorite part is. I wonder what kind of king Jesus would be. We ask the questions and then we are quiet. We're quiet for time to think, for time to listen, for time to make meaning, time for the children to respond, time to soak it in. I've been hearing parents asking questions, too. Parents here at First Baptist Church, parents at my kids' schools, parents that are part of a book group here at church reading books of authors of color, parents who are attending the Mothering Justice webinar we're hosting here, too. Parents are asking this question: how do we raise empathetic children? How do we raise children who are able to see other people's point of view? How do we raise children to see that there is not only one right way? As these conversations have been happening, I keep coming back to the ways that godly play teaches children to approach Scripture, to wonder about God. Would this spiritual discipline of wondering also give us a tool to raise empathetic children as well? I wonder how she felt. I wonder what he would say happened. I wonder how they feel loved. I wonder if she is wanting something different than you are right now. When we engage in this spiritual practice of question asking about Scripture, about God, about our friends, humanity, we draw nearer to the way of the kingdom of God. We are better able to build each other up. We are more likely to ask for forgiveness. We are more likely to forgive. And we are quicker to demand justice. Tens of thousands of people across the country participated in the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, led by Reverend Dr. William Barber and Reverend Dr. Liz Theoharis this past spring. It was the 50th anniversary of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's 1968 Poor People's Campaign that started a month after he was assassinated. People gathered in over 30 state capitals for 6 Mondays in a row to disrupt business as usual, to challenge the evils of systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, ecological devastation, and our nation's distorted morality. Members of First Baptist participated in the planning, the rallies, the protests. Betsy Foote and Tom Gephardt, Ron and Mary Gregg, Kathy and Larry Bates' daughters, Richard Bates' granddaughters. Two of us were arrested while participating in the civil disobedience. Kevin and I had decided that it was important for us to have our kids come and be a part of the protest. We wanted them to see what it looked like when people of faith ask important questions and demand that their fellow citizens and their political leaders lead in a way, the way of the kingdom of God. That said, throughout the campaign, there were times when I felt frustrated. I remember one very hot Monday in Lansing on the Capitol steps. It was 93 degrees. There is no shade, the Capitol steps. And the faith leaders spoke, and then others shared about their experience of poverty and injustice. Sylvia Orduño, who works for the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization, was the leader in charge of the podium, in charge of who was at the podium and for how long. And after the scheduled speakers had spoken this Monday, sharing about their experiences, then more folks kept coming, stepped up and asked if they too could share their stories. And Sylvia made time. She made time for them to share. As the speeches continued, we kept sweating, we passed around water bottles, we reapplied our sunscreen, we did our best to listen, and I found myself getting restless. Was this the best use of the time at the rally? Was this the most effective strategy for change? Weren't we getting a little off the topic for the day? I was feeling just like I imagine the disciples are feeling among this crowd of hungry people. Sylvia, I wanted to say, it's getting late, it's hot. Why don't you go ahead and tell us to go home? And yet Sylvia's response to each person who wanted to share was, yes, please do tell us your story. The final Monday of the Poor People's Campaign was in Detroit. My children and I met my dad there. It was our way of celebrating Father's Day together. Early on, my kids had connected with Jaden, a boy from Flint, who was a little older than Asher and a little younger than Emmanuel. They bonded quickly as we marched off together, first to the Great Lakes Water Authority and then downtown to block the queue line. Sylvia had the microphone again, but this day it was a megaphone. Her energy was contagious. She was able to get hundreds of people gathered in one place and then quieted, and then all chanting in unison. I was in awe of the leader that Sylvia was. And we ended up close to her in the march. And as she finished a chant using the megaphone, she looked over to the three boys and said, "Would you like to lead us?" With a bit of hesitation, but mostly excitement, the boys nodded their heads and said, "Yes." Sylvia, the leader of the campaign protest, then held that heavy speaker of the megaphone while the boys took the microphone. And they chanted, "What do we want?" "Justice," we all responded. "When do we want it?" "Now." And then, "Kids need water." And we responded, "Stop the shutoffs." It went on like this for hours. Sylvia holding the speaker, the kids holding the microphone and chanting through it. And again, I started getting restless. Should I make sure that Sylvia knows she doesn't have to stay with the kids the whole time? Doesn't she have something else she needs to be doing? Is this the best use of her time? And then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it dawned on me. This is what Sylvia Arduño does. This is what the campaign was all about. Sylvia was amplifying voices that go unheard. She was giving the microphone at the Capitol steps to the teen who was sharing about having survived sexual and emotional abuse. Sylvia was holding the podium for the veteran to share about his experience of homelessness. She was giving the megaphones to the kids, one of whom did not and still does not have clean water at home to drink. Jesus said to his restless disciples, "You feed them." Jesus says to us, "You listen and amplify their voice." And then, when we're feeling overwhelmed by the task, like the disciples, Jesus asks simply, "What do you have?" I wonder, what do you have? What do you have to give? Maybe you have the microphone to share, or the ability to invite people to the podium, or the gift of asking questions, or the influence to get people to listen. I wonder where you are in the story. And the good news is this, that God will take your gift, our gifts, and do big things, bigger than we can ever imagine. Jesus asks us, "What do you have?" And now is our chance to answer. May we give with grateful hearts and watch with expectation for all that God will do with our offerings.
Right.
We give back to you of our time and our resources as you invite us to be partners with you in furthering your kingdom. May your kingdom come. Amen.
Thank you.
of Christ's deep peace as it fills us up. The peace of the Lord be with you. May God strengthen you by the Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And with both feet planted firmly on love, may you take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breath. Test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full of the fullness of God. Amen.